people a chance to get registered for, you're so kind. Archie's a representative for Olokai, who's paid his dues for how many years? 30 years you were doing life-saving here, Coast Guard work, and...
Yeah, not Coast Guard, ocean safety.
Ocean safety.
Lifeguarding, yeah.
Lifeguarding, and saved many people's lives over the course of the years. You've seen what happens.
Yeah.
And one of the saddest parts is that people sometimes are not aware of ocean safety. I know, I believe you worked on the water safety video that is shown at the airport, I believe, now.
That was right after I retired, but helped get the balls rolling for many years.
Very important.
So that would happen, yeah.
Because it's sad, but a lot of people don't know it. People come on vacation and are not aware of the dangers of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they can get in the water, and a beautiful vacation can have disastrous results if they're not aware of their water.
You know, when people come here, they see the beauty, but they don't see the beast that's hidden in that beauty. And, you know, that's where the lifeguards come in. Their job is to help people that come here and visit or aren't as water savvy, but point out the dangers and help them recognize what that is so that they know where to and how to enjoy our oceans.
Well, you brought up an interesting point because the Olokai Ho'olelei is coming up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the 10th year. It's coming up April 28th and 29th. It's a huge event. You get like 300 people that are involved in that. And we already have, 167 in the SUP entered. But like last year, there was weather. And you had to make the hard call. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. They'd practiced and planned to go from Maliko Gulch on down to Kanaha.
Yeah.
And you said no.
Yeah, you know, that was a tough call because for the last, up until that point, the last 8 years, we had great success with the Great Maliko Run from Maliko to Kanaha Beach Park. And that morning last year, the weather was so bad that you couldn't see land. And so I had made
out from the water, you couldn't even see the coastline.
No, and so I had made a safety call and said that, hey, you know what, we're going to have to either stop the race until we can come up with something that the Olokai, us, the organizers, that we feel comfortable with doing. And we did. We did a short course right at Kanaha Beach Park. And it was very challenging, and I think the outcome was really good, and it speaks for itself. People are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's year in and year out. No matter what the condition is, we've been blessed with a great Ho'olelei event, and we look forward to this year. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of bad weather lately.
Well, tell me about it. It's so weird, and I have to say, speaking about that, I do feel really bad for the people who come here and visit and think they're coming and they're just going to lay out on the beach and they don't even bring anything except kind of bathing suit and a couple shorts and then they get weather, you know.
Yeah.
But you've been around the ocean long enough and we go through cycles, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's especially for us that live on an island, people here in Hawaii and other places in the Pacific, we have a great understanding of weather.
Yes.
Because our life here revolves around weather. The things that we do, so we pay a little closer attention to it, and our lives evolve around it, which is you know, from being in the ocean, going hiking, whatever activity you do, a big part of what we do in Hawaii, it evolves weather.
It's very, very true.
Yeah.
And we have to give a shout out to all the people who helped all the people in Kauai.
Yeah.
That Kauai event was like, oh my gosh.
Well, I got to share something with you is our own brothers, lifeguards and firefighters. I know three lifeguards lost their home and that never stopped them from coming to work and helping with the rescues and the evacuation. And I know two firefighters lost their home.
Wow.
That got swept out to sea. And, you know, they still come to work every day, and they're doing their part to make sure that they can help others. And so I think Olokai is putting some plan together that we can reach out and help the people on Kauai, you know, and the ones that need the help and lost their homes or their homes got severely damaged. And our hearts go out to those people. all of those people in Kauai.
Yeah, I saw the coastline. I saw what happened to that beautiful beach down there.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was just devastated. There were cars that got washed out, homes, and the beach gone. And I think that pier was damaged that goes out there. And, I mean, Kauai gets, unfortunately, some heavy weather sometimes. Yeah. You know, we've gotten a lot of rain, but
I think
it was
that
like
was a
30
game changer,
inches.
Though.
30 inches? I mean, it was crazy.
That was a game changer because you look at Hanalei Bay and the river mouth. It's totally changed now.
Yeah.
It's not where it normally used to go out. It's all the way on the opposite side of the pier.
Is it?
And so, you know, with that being said, I think we have to come to the realization, and I learned this voyaging on Hokulea, that things are changing.
Yeah.
The weather is changing.
Yeah.
Global warming's happening. The sea levels are rising. There's all these things that are happening that, you know, our lifetime, we've been taking, we take for granted. And we have to realize change is coming.
Well, Earth Day is this Sunday. I know that our friends at Mandala and Bruce and friends are going to do the celebration the following week on the 29th. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I pray, this is true, I pray every day for the Earth. We started seeing the balance thrown off a while back, and I have a friend who's Native Hawaiian and Native American, and we did a prayer for the balance of
right
things.
On.
Because the balance
Amen.
Has been thrown off.
Yeah.
And we, I mean, I really, when I see daily what's been done to the environment and how it's now affecting the oceans especially, I look at the what's been done to the oceans, and it's so sad how that's now ruining not just the oceans, but the marine life as well. And then, of course, what people eat, you know, from the marine.
Well, we got to ask ourselves, we have a chance to create change, but there's going to be a point when...
The balance is tipped.
The balance is tipped.
Yeah.
And... all we can do is sit and wait and watch and wonder why you and everyone that's listening, why didn't we make a difference?
Did you start saying the king's tides? It started a couple of years ago, the king's tides and what was
well,
saying?
Well, you know, growing up in Hawaii my whole life, lifeguarding my whole life, I've never heard of a king tide.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Uh-huh.
And now it's a common thing here in Hawaii. And Swains Island, for example, in Samoa, you know, they evacuated 500 people who lived generations on an atoll island. And they all got taken off because of the sea level rising.
Mm-hmm.
That so, you know, the effects are real. What's happening is realistic. And we, one by one, need to decide, what do I want to do to help create change or to help save this planet? That's, you know, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but talking about Hokulea, the worldwide voyage, that was for the 5 years that we spent going around the world and meeting different indigenous people. I think as indigenous people, we see these things because it's part of your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of your culture. And seeing change happening and everybody talking about change is happening, but what are we doing? What are we doing to like you said, help maintain balance? Those are big, drastic steps that each and every single one of us need to take because we take so many things for granted. Having a car, fuel, you know, fossil fuels, all these kinds of things, we gotta change.
And it's happening, but you wonder if it's happening fast enough. And I kind of can't help but think about what we're leaving for the next generation and the generation after that. I think the next generation is going to see a lot of fallout. And the generation after that, I don't even want to even imagine what might happen. A lot of good's been done. There's people doing great things cleaning up the ocean. Mm-hmm. But it's a daunting task what they have to do to clear up some of the awful things that are now in the ocean. I mean, there's particles of plastic in every single ocean.
Yeah.
In the world right now. So, I mean, how do you, you know, go about doing that? It would have been a lot easier if it hadn't gotten to that point. But now it has to be, the results are, it's time to clean it up and save it, right?
You know, and that's the thing, is we have to tap into the industrial world and tell them that we need to start doing a better job in what they're doing.
Yep.
Not only to provide people, but to protect this earth.
Yeah.
I think it's super, super important. I also think that what, you know, one thing we've come to the realization is the only thing that we have on our side right now is time.
Yeah, and time's running out.
Time's running out. And to your point about praying, you know, praying for balance, I look in my kids' eyes every morning or at night when I put them to bed, and I ask myself, will they have the opportunity to enjoy this place like I have?
I know. I look at, I used to walk every day up in Iao, and now I'm going, well, I can't really, it's not the same. You've seen it. That was what they called 100-year. Mm-hmm. I mean, how you saw that here, how it could change it. Thank God you're doing a lot to help. And you are an inspiration. We're going to talk a little about the trip you took around the world. I went down when the Hokulea was in Malaya, and I heard the talk. And number one, we all hear about the Hokulea, and I had pictured it to be at least three times as big as it was when I got on it, because I'm thinking of this thing that went around the world, and it was small.
Yeah.
It was not that big.
Yeah.
But the wonderful one of the captains was on board.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that that captain did a beautiful job of explaining how in tune you have to be to the air, to the waves, to the water. Because I asked, what happens when you can't see? What happens when you get fogged out? How do you know if you can't see the stars? Because you were navigating by the stars. Well, what happens when you can't see the stars? And he explained how you learn which way the wind's coming to follow the patterns that it was, how you watch the waves and you know the patterns of the waves. I mean, basically, when you're on that Hokulea, you have to be 100% in tune to the environment.
Yeah, it's a process. And I think, you know, part of it is learning how to read and recognize cloud formations, knowing your predominant swell versus your storm swell. You know, all those kinds of things you take into consideration on your journey. I'm not a navigator, but I was fortunate enough to be a captain and have spent my life studying the ocean and studying cloud formations. And so, you know, everybody contributes. Everybody has a gift on that canoe. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're there.
How many were on board at any given time?
So the long legs, there's 12 people. Shorter legs, we'll go 16 people, and if it's just we're island hopping, we'll put on maybe 20 people.
Now, folks, now you're thinking again, like me probably, oh, you have enough space. Well, if you were to see, and maybe some of you actually went on board and saw how much space you had, the people were in tiny cubicles. I mean, literally, I don't even know if you could even fit there laying down. It was maybe 2 feet wide and 6 feet long. Was that about it, the space that they had for lay in?
Your living quarters was exactly that, 2 feet by 6 feet. The canoe is 62 feet by 22 feet wide. And having 12 people on board, you realize your space is very small.
Yeah.
But what you really begin to understand is yourself and how you need to interact with others.
I bet.
Is you need to be someone that is conscious about others, which allows the canoe to function. It's when you start thinking about yourself or doing things for yourself, it has a profound effect with 12 other people, 11 other people on board that canoe, because you're in a small, confined space. And you, when you work for each other or work towards a great team, then life is good on the canoe.
Well, I know I've talked with Clifford Nayola, and he's compared, I think it was last year, they talked about how Hawaii and the island should be considered a canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
That in the same way we have to, in that same state of mind, be aware and work together. And when you think of it also, with Earth Day coming up, the Earth is our canoe.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing here. We're seeing how a lot of the people in the world do not work together and what can happen to the canoe.
Yeah.
And we see the results quicker now than we used to
Yeah.
because it's a smaller world today than it used to be.
Yeah.
But when you're out there in that, I mean, what a perfect way to understand it. And you get to understand when challenges come up. You went through some big challenges on that time. What was the scariest part that you did when you were on the Hokulea?
One of our most dangerous leg in the worldwide voyage was going around the Horn, around South Africa. And we got caught in a pretty bad storm. You know, it's really funny. You know how big Africa is compared?
Yeah, it's huge.
Compared to Maui?
Mm-hmm.
So I compare it like this. The thunder in Africa is like the size of Africa. Thunder in Hawaii is like the size of Hawaii. So the thunder here is very soft.
Mm-hmm.
The thunder in Africa is very loud. But we got caught in a very bad storm. And we saw the crew really gel. And instead of it being a failure, it really gelled or solidified this crew and its journey and why they were chosen for that particular leg. And it was really, really nice to see everybody really come together and work through all the adversaries and do what we needed to do to get to land safely. That was a feat in itself. And I remember when we got into Cape Town, we got in on a Friday. There was a big 100-foot fishing vessel that came in on a Saturday. Sunday they were setting up all these tents, and we thought it was for Hokulea because you know, there was going to be a big arrival ceremony. And what had happened when we had asked, "Oh, are you guys setting up the tents for Hokulea?" And they said, "No, we're setting it up for a funeral." 12 people got washed off the deck off of that boat that's right next to you and never found.
Wow.
So we were really, really lucky.
Oh, well, I think there's more than luck involved.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is that expertise and the pulling together, as you say, in that canoe.
Yeah.
It wasn't a canoe, but I'm thinking of it as a canoe.
Yeah.
But working together like that, and there were a lot of blessings in people that were thinking of you that were part of it. And when you think of how many people you touched around the world, I mean, did they ever count how many ports you hit on the Hokulea?
Yeah, I think we did like 43 ports.
Wow.
It was an amazing feat.
Yeah. And how people knew about you, right? And had heard about you and were touched by what you were doing.
Yeah.
And they must have been amazed when they saw how small it was, too.
You know, people are just blown away when they say, you're going around the world on that canoe, on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come and talk to the crew and they really take a chance to come on board and look.
Uh-huh.
At the details of the rigging, people are blown away. They are amazed, and
unbelievable. It really is, and I'm glad you did that where people could, and it was available to do.
Yeah.
Someone asked, "Where's the restrooms?"
Yeah.
On board the ship.
They show you where the restrooms are?
Yeah. It's over the side.
Yeah, it's
and
over
I'm
the side.
Trying to imagine people. They literally had to hang over the side of this vehicle, this ship.
Yeah.
Do you call it a ship or a canoe?
No,
what do
it's
you call
a canoe.
It? You do
it's
call
a
it a
voyaging canoe.
Voyaging canoe.
Yeah.
They had to hang there.
Yeah.
You had to hang from the side. And if it's bad weather, good luck.
Same thing.
Yeah. You're just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. And you had to have all your supplies.
Yeah.
On that as well.
Well, you know, a lot of our food is planned. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three meals a day is planned out for the duration of the journey. For each leg, and you know, logistically, the people, the support that we get—not just the crew that's sailing the canoe, but the support that we get from the people that help make sure that the crew is properly fed and stay, you know, keep them safe. You know, is a really, really big feat. Not only they got to prepare all this. Boxes for 43 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but they got to make sure it gets to where it needs to be so that when the canoe arrives at that destination, we can load up for the next leg. So there is a lot of logistics that was involved, and you know, Hawaiian Airlines was a big part of making that happen for us, making sure that we got what we needed, whether it was pulling into port and we needed more supplies or we needed you know, safety equipment. It was ready, and when we got to the next port, so that the next crew could take on their voyage safely.
Mm-hmm. And you had to fly them and have them ready to go there.
Yeah.
And one time I heard from one of the navigators that I talked to, he was on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
He said one time someone got sick, something, they got cut, and they actually had to get them off the ship to get emergency help.
Yeah, I was on that leg. That was
from
Tahiti. Yeah, we were on our way to Samoa. We got caught in a gnarly storm for like 47 hours.
Mm.
And the guys were suffering from hydration, and it was really funny. But what happened was one of the female crew members had gotten dengue. And for women, after 5 days, it can go downhill real quick.
Mm.
And so the plan was to pull into an atoll and have her taken off the canoe with the doctor, and then flown out. And so when we had pulled into port, we had declared a medical emergency, and we didn't pull into port. We just pulled along the shoreline, and the government came out and met us and took her off. In the process, one of the other crew members got hurt trying to hold off the boat from hitting the canoe.
Oh, my.
Smashed his hand, and he got knocked unconscious.
When
he saw his hand, the blood, he knocked out, and everybody was like, Archie. At this point, the doctor was on the boat with the female crew member, and she said, you know, you're now the medical guy on the canoes. And then we lost another guy. So we were down three people.
Wow.
All the way to Samoa. So
the crew was like 8-9 people?
Yeah, so it was a skeleton crew. But everybody did great.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's those kinds of experiences that happen that really, really brings the crew together, and everybody does what they need to do to keep each other safe.
I assume you'd call it a life-changing experience.
You know, it's hard to explain. I don't know how to explain it, but the process of being out on the water so long and seeing all the things that you see, it does change your life. It does change your life, but one of the things I think is you don't know, you really don't know, like, how to explain it. The experiences and the changes that you go through, you mm-hmm. really don't know how to explain it, but you come to realize that I have to do something. I have to do something to help create change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the hard part, is figuring out how do I create change,
mm-hmm.
you know, once you go on a trip like this.
And that's a very personal thing, although I'm mm-hmm. sure everyone that was part of the crew can totally relate.
Oh, yeah.
Because they probably had some very similar experiences
mm-hmm.
that they felt they had to do something. What were some of, that you heard of, what were some of the most touching arrival greetings that you experienced on the Hokulea?
Every single one of them.
Every one, wow.
Especially like in Polynesia. You know, because Polynesia is part of our home.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's like a coming home party that we've never, you know, Hokulea has gone back every time to Tahiti. But every time we go back, it's like, you know, the people of Tahiti and French Polynesia, it's like coming home for thousands of years.
Mm.
It's pretty amazing. It's
part of the chain of what that mm-hmm. beginning was, and making, was it like a circle of completion that you felt that you were tied to the initial voyages?
Yeah. Everywhere we've gone, I mean, even Africa, the performances and the ceremonies that we attended was really, really amazing. And you realize how small the earth is and how connected everyone is.
Mm.
It's really, really, it's a small place. And
did everyone know about Maui? Did you talk to them about Maui? People were aware of Hawaii, most of the places you went?
Yeah, you know, technology today, I mean, social media
mm-hmm.
is everywhere. So, you know, I never really talked about Maui in particular,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, talked a lot about Hawaii, our people, our place, and the culture of Hawaii. So that was really a nice experience, and you know, it's, I think,
they know Hawaii 5-0.
Oh yeah, they know Hawaii 5-0.
they know Aloha, right?
Oh yeah. But you know, one of the biggest things was all of the ports that we did visit was the interaction we had with indigenous people, and the relationships that was gained through that has just been really, really amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's we all share one common goal, and that is we need to protect our earth.
I mean, we can't say that enough. And the hardest part is, I think people want to really make sure we do that, but there's a lot of people who do not understand or know how. And it's kind of sad because, you know, even when we try to recycle here on Maui, there's a lot of people in China saying, no more, we're not going to take any more of this or that. And that they said enough already. And so even if we want to recycle, there's no place to even send it now, some of that stuff. So we've got a lot to take care of right here in our canoe of these islands with stuff that we don't necessarily have solutions for, which then mean, do we build stuff here to take care of that? And I mean, it's huge. And unfortunately, there's money involved. A lot of people who care, but then there's a lot of other factors that have to be dealt with as well.
Well, you know, I think everybody can take action. And, you know, we don't need to use plastics. We don't need to use plastic forks. We can use, you can carry a metal fork. I know people that are actually doing that today, carrying a metal straw and a metal spoon and a knife whenever they go to a restaurant.
Really?
So that they don't use plastics. And, you know, that's change.
So it is, yeah.
It's every little thing that you do to create change, whether it be picking up a piece of rubbish and throwing it in the you know, plastics and throwing it in a recycle bin. You know, that's change. Believe it or not, that is change. Doing your little part from, you know what, I'm going to just throw my rubbish out the window.
By you
not doing that and throwing it where it needs to go so that it can get processed the way it needs to, you're creating change.
And everyone that goes to the beaches, you know, cigarette butts. My gosh, you've seen these people clean up the ocean. You've seen how many cigarette butts still at this day and age with how many cigarette butts, how much junk?
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things is our ocean.
Yeah.
70% of the earth is made up of water. Our oceans create oxygen. And if we lose that, then it's just time.
Yeah.
It's like we're sitting there and watching ourselves run out of air. And so, you know, from across Asia, all the big industrials that are, and I'm not just talking U.S., I'm talking global.
Oh, yeah.
That need to come together, sit down, and face the reality of, well, I got to think about more than just my company making money, but what am I doing to help protect our place, wherever that is.
Yeah, absolutely true. I saw a video just recently about some of these companies that just still dump their dirty waters into the ocean, thinking it's their dumping site, you know, and how there's whole areas where nothing is growing, nothing, even the fish can't exist because... And we don't know that, we don't see it necessarily, but it still goes on.
There.
It's there, And we have our own stuff with our reefs and trying to protect the reefs, which we know, I mean, most people know how important it is, but... But yeah, there's a lot of caring and work that has to be done already to take care of the damage that was done in the past.
Yeah.
And we're at that point.
And you know what? I think we can do it.
Yeah.
If every one of us take responsibility and we can change. We can change the world.
Yeah. I think so too. Well, you've been a representative of Olokai now for about 5 years?
So I've been with Olokai for 9 years.
9 years?
9 years, but I've become an employee. I started working with Olokai full-time 5 years ago.
Excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Good one.
And oh, I got to show your feet. You've got Olokai. They did a special slipper honoring the Hokulea.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to do with that?
Yes, I did. So we took one of the Hokulea sails,
mm-hmm.
and we made some Olokai product from it. We made 200 pairs, and they were gone within an hour. Once it went online.
Wow.
And so 100% of the proceeds went back to Hokulea. So now we have a Hokulea slipper that in the insole of the slipper, you actually see the sail, the two sails of the canoe in the footbed.
Can we show them? Are you wearing your own?
No, I'm not wearing those.
Oh, you're not wearing those. Yeah. You have a pair.
So now we have a Hokulea slipper, and a percentage of the proceeds goes back to PVS to continue supporting the efforts of PVS, whether it be voyaging for navigation or voyaging for saving our planet.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And the Olokai Holalea is going to be coming up the weekend after next, April 28th and 29th. That's Saturday and Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Kanaha Beach Park. And it's grown.
Yeah.
It's the 10th year, and you've added some new parts, new divisions.
Yes, we've added two new divisions, which is our prone paddling, because we saw a lot of people were going back. Instead of stand-up paddling, a lot of people mm-hmm. are going back to prone paddling.
Mm.
So we want to reach out.
Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, I think people want to remember their roots, how important,
being and feeling and right on the water rather than standing above it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a big, in the last couple of years, I've seen a lot of guys were asking, hey, man, we create a prone division and saw a lot more people doing prone paddling. And so this year, our 10th anniversary, we added in prone paddling. And then we added another division, which I think is going to be very, very interesting. So we went from one spectrum, which is prone paddling, which is historically been around for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
To where now people are foiling. So we've added the foil division, which is the future. And it's going to be really, really exciting to see the foil division and who shows up and who comes out. It's really big on Maui right now.
You began doing it about, what, 4 years, 3-4 years ago? Were you one of the first that it started showing up here about 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, but we were foiling back 15 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
18 years ago, we
were
foiling.
Okay, for people who are listening around the world and don't know what foiling is, it's not aluminum foil. No, what is foiling?
So foiling is a foil. It's a shaft with a forward wing and a tail wing. And what it does, it rises out of the water. And instead of riding on the water, the foil is in the water, but you're actually above the water.
You're sailing.
Yeah, you're flying.
On the air, you're flying.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like a flying fish, but staying on the water,
so
above the water.
We're really excited about those two new divisions.
That's going to be on Sunday.
That'll be on Sunday. The prone paddling will be on Saturday with the SUPs, mm-hmm. and then the foiling will be with the OC1 and OC2 on Sunday.
And the fun paddle starts in Paia.
Yes.
And goes down to Kanaha.
Yes.
That's open to what kind of?
That's an entry level. You know, mm-hmm. People don't have to necessarily do the whole 8 miles. Instead of doing the whole 8 miles, they do like a 3 mile course from Paia Beach Park,
mm-hmm.
The youth center, all the way to Kanaha. And it gives them a taste of the conditions, but you know, it's not too much to where it's a little bit too much for somebody, because you got to start somewhere. You want to crawl before you walk before you run, and run before you fly. So you know, every year we've had great turnout for the fun paddle. And then
how many people show up for the fun paddle?
The fun paddle, you know, we get a lot of parents and kids, and to me, that's the most favorite part, because it's very engaging. We're everybody's working out. We do a fun stretch with everybody. We do a little safety talk about, you know, keeping each other safe out there. And then we have a helicopter that comes in, and everybody gets all excited. And there's kind of a shore break, and you got to time everybody to get out into the lineup. And
Is it like herding kittens? Cats?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like guppies.
It's like guppies.
It's so much fun. And then, you know,
and then the big guys, the SUPs, it's a $15,000 equal gender, prize.
Yeah.
And you got some big names that are, who are some of the big names this year?
You know, we got, start off with the girls, Andrea Muller. She's defending SUP and OC1 champion for, you know, as long as our event has been running.
Oh, good for her.
And, you know, and then we have guys like Connor Baxter, Kai Lenny.
Who's a hero. He's become, what, the first Hawaiian bank poster boy.
Yeah.
And you see him everywhere. You go in the banks, and he's all over. He's on TV commercials.
What a
great. He's become a star.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I remember when he was in here in the studio when he was 14 and 15 years old. Just so cute and sweet. It was like, whoa, he's become a big-time star.
He's a big-time star. Yeah. We're so proud of him. Maui, we're very proud to, you know, he emulates what a true waterman is.
Yeah.
And so we're very proud of him.
You are a good example to follow for people.
Thank you. We have other guys like Dave Kalama, who who's very excited about the foil race. So I'm really looking forward to this year and seeing what, you know, we might see some new winners. We might see some new, some up-and-coming stars because you know, the sport of SUP and has really taken off. And then
for those listening in the other parts of the world, SUP is stand-up paddle.
Yeah, and then now we have our OC1 and OC2. Now, remember, Hawaii won the Molokai Channel this year, which they haven't done in a long time because Tahiti has always held that title. So we're really excited to see what kind of talent shows up this year. And you know, the whole aulea for us, the racing is just one component. But really, the whole aulea celebration is we put a lot of effort into that. And this year, because it's our 10th anniversary, we're having a full-blown luau style with performers, fire knife dancing, Tahitian show, Hawaiian hula.
And that's on Sunday.
That's on Sunday
at
3:30. That's going to start at 3:30. And then, you know, Laiula Canoe Club, Sharon Balidoy, Sharon and Ricky, they do a great job with supporting the event and the needs from preparing the emu, cooking the kalua pig, all the food that's prepared by the canoe club is really, really awesome.
Now, people, if you want to go, it's open to the public at 3:30, but there's a ticket price, and I don't know what the ticket price
is. $10.
Oh, not.
Yeah.
How could you? No one does a luau for $10.
$10.
That's the best luau price I've ever heard of.
And you know what's going to be also interesting? We have our Imiloa. So we're going to have a stargazing.
Wow, cool.
That's going to go on a couple times a day there. We have a dome that actually shows all the stars and constellation and all the lines up from Hawaii to Tahiti. And we're going to have pole navigator Kalepa Babayan and his daughter Kala, who is an apprentice navigator. And she's legit. She can call herself a true navigator now. But we're going to have both of them, and they're going to be doing the classes in the astronomy dome. So
that's
we're going to set up an astronomy dome, and they're going to be there. And so I encourage people to come down.
Now, there's Kanaha, and there's lots of things. Now, there's as you go, it's the entrance before last is where you turn in.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's there's you might want to get there. There might be a lot of people. But there's a easy way you can park above or below, you know.
There'll be people that will be assisting with parking.
Good.
The sheriff's department. But come early because it's gonna fill up. And you know, between Olokai and our Ama Olokai Foundation, it's a great event.
What's the Ama Olokai Foundation?
Ama Olokai is an organization that we started in Olokai about 2 years ago to find ways that we can contribute and give back to the people of Hawaii. Because as a brand, Olokai, you know, people identify Hawaii with the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure, as a brand, we're doing everything we can to give back to the people of Hawaii.
And speaking of that, your kind people at Olokai and you, Archie, mm-hmm. have made it possible for us to give some Olokai slippers away.
Awesome.
There's lots of different people, by the way, should always go to olokai.com.
Yep.
And olokai.com has a lot. I mean, Olokai, since we all knew it and started here, has really grown.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, now they've got shoes and they've mm-hmm. got men's, they've got women's, they've got all kinds of great stuff, and mm-hmm. they have lots of different styles of slippers.
Yeah.
And they have a style called the Kai. Yep. Anyone knows or listening yep. that doesn't know what Kai, Kai means ocean, K-A-I.
Yep.
And the Kai slippers are really cool. They're $99 mm-hmm. slippers.
Yep.
And Sean and the good people at Olokai have mm-hmm. been kind with the help of Archie asking. Can they ever say no to you, Archie? No. has given us a chance to give some away. So we're going to take a couple of names. We'll be doing a drawing. But if you call right now at 244-9533, 244-9533, we'll take your names and we're going to pick a winner next. We're going to pick eight winners next Wednesday. And so I can hear the phones going off. Yeah, everyone. You know what? I mean, we all love you here, but I mean, we partly love you because I love the Olokai slippers too. I have to admit it. Everyone says, Archie,
I love them too.
Archie, can I have an Olokai slipper? Because they last. I mean, some of Jack says his has last 10 years.
They're great quality.
I mean,
slippers.
They really are good quality.
They're
and
good
they're,
for your feet. Good they, for your back.
Exactly. And they're designer slippers. And everyone, you know, yeah. when you're wearing Olokai, no matter where you are in the world now, they know. Oh, Olokai, right?
Quality, comfort, and design.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely. So I need to thank Sean and you for giving us the chance to give some of these Olokai slippers away, because it's a highlight. I mean, I actually have people who send me emails from around the world when they hear we're going to do this. And, oh, can I enter? How can I enter?
Awesome.
Yeah, but it's true. Because Olokai is really good. I will hold this up in front of the camera because I'm doing Facebook Live. Why don't you hold that up there? This is the Olokai information here. Olokai ho'ola lea. Mm-hmm. And SUP, 1-2, and prone, and foil, April 28th, April 29th.
Yep.
But it's huge. And I'm so glad you came in, because as much as we talk about this, Archie,
yeah.
there's things I learn that I learned today that I didn't even know were going to be happening. Number one, I did not know you were going to do the luau for $10.
Mm-hmm.
I really, because, you know, people, should we tell people, the rest of the world out there, what luau's usually cost here in Hawaii? It can be $150, $200, you know, yeah. and you're doing the full-on luau for $10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's because a lot of hard work on the part of your volunteers and people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Making it possible to do that.
Our Olokai Ohana is such an awesome Ohana.
And yeah.
You know, it's, you can be proud, and when you do things pono,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can be proud of what you're a part of.
That's right.
So,
and you are, and I can tell that, you know, and it's really great. And you wouldn't be part of it unless you could
no,
be, right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
You're very careful what you put your name to.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, and you know, for the people who are listening or watching from around the world, Archie's a hero here. You know, kids look up to him. People know what he's done and how he's trained so many people. You've saved how many lives do you think you saved in your time of being out there and watching the ocean?
You know, I haven't even counted. But, you know, the thing is, by the people we've been able to train, mm-hmm. we can say we've saved millions.
Really?
Maybe not directly. I've
yeah,
saved them. But
the people
by
you've
training
trained
others,
that are not doing it.
By them, you know, saving people.
And all I can say is, for everyone's sake, everyone loves you to come and have a good time and enjoy the oceans. No one wants you mm-hmm. to get in trouble, but you've got to be aware of the ocean, and you have to listen mm-hmm. to those around you and the coast, the lifeguards, you know. They're there for a reason to help you, and boy, they put their lives on the line. You put your lives on the line many times saving people.
You know, trust your instincts, know your limits, and if in doubt, don't go out.
Yeah. And I still see people going out after we've had a lot of rain, and they go in the muddy waters, and they go where there's wash out there, and not you won't see the local people doing that.
Exactly. You, if you don't see locals, don't go.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the shark and stuff are. They like that wash from the. So, you know, there's a lot to learn, and ask, like you say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ask those people around you. Everyone wants you to be safe. No one wants to see anything bad happen.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of respect that you have to give these oceans, and the people that live here
do
respect the ocean.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you've seen that many times.
Many a time.
Well, what an amazing thing. I hope not just locals, but I hope some visitors listening go out to the Olakai Ho'olelea. I think some people may even come in for this event. Don't you? Do you have people fly in to participate?
Yeah, we have... countries from all over the world come and compete in this event. I think last year we had like 14 different countries.
Wow.
So we're really excited to see what beholds us on the morning of the 28th.
Yeah, and get out there early. For the people just coming for the luau or other events, what time should people get out there? When you say get out there early, if they want to be a part of this whole thing.
Well, there's all kinds of festivities that are going to take place on the 28th and 29th. Like, I really recommend that people go to Imiloa and the astrology showing that they're going to be showing right there at the park.
I love that.
And, you know, get a chance to see the racers come in, get a chance.
Great photo opportunities, great pictures, right?
Yeah, meet some of the top pros, watch the start of the race. It's really, really amazing.
It's an amazing
event.
And
then hear stories of the racers and the things that they experience on their run of the course.
Well, I'm going to end the Facebook Live. Thank you. And we're just about out of time. We've been talking. I could talk forever to you, Archie. I learned so much. I always do. And it's so great being able to learn from someone who's such an amazingly humble person. But
thank you, Cindy.
So respected in the community. And I know how busy you really are. There's a lot of planning and work that goes into this kind of event. So it makes it extra special to have the time to have you come in and really share your expertise with us and be aware, you know, the fact. I'm so glad we had time to talk about caring for the planet and the oceans and the water, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Go to olukai.com.
Yes.
olukai.com, and you can find all the information there. I want to thank Kathy Takushi and Captivating Journeys, our sponsor. Call 244-1414 for information about Captivating Journeys. And you can follow Kathy's trip on Facebook. I'll see you next week.